we bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you right now to come into our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to fill this place. We need the Spirit to enlighten our minds as we read the Scripture. We ask your Spirit to be with Ron as he delivers a message. Help it to be your words, not his. We're just so blessed. We're so thankful for your love and grace. And we seldom show that love. We just ask you to help us to be mindful of all the blessings we have and help it to be a way of letting us show others that you are the one and only way to life everlasting. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 37. Then they brought him, a demon-possessed man, who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him, so that all could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Lord.
About 50 years ago, maybe a little longer, a publishing house wanted to get a new translation of the New Testament. And they didn't want it to be influenced by religious people, so they decided to hire a professor of ancient Greek. To do the translation. And this professor had been at most a nominal Christian. He'd been raised in the church, but really didn't attend anymore. And so they said, would you translate the New Testament and give us a translation devoid of all this religious overtones? And they hired him, and he said he'd do it, and so he did. And after he translated the original Greek into English, he wrote a book called The Ring of Truth. Because what happened to him was, as he was translating the New Testament from the ancient Greek into English, and he was trying to do it devoid of any of the church and religious overtones and stuff, he realized this really is the Word of God. This gospel really has the ring of truth. And so this book is the story, really, of his major conversion. And today, in the passage that Al just read for us, I think we have something in here that really has the ring of truth in it. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but this controversy where the Pharisees are saying it's only by Satan, the power of Satan, that you are in fact driving out these demons. It's only by his power are you healing these people. That to me has a real ring of truth to it. It confirms for me that all these miracles that we've seen Jesus performing, all the healings, casting out demons, all the things that he has been doing that we would call miraculous, this confirms that in fact that happened. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, Jesus was a great teacher. He lived a long time ago, and we know that. But, you know, I just don't believe the miracle stuff. Because, you know, we live in a scientific age now, right? And we know better than they did back then. But stop and think about this story. If it weren't true, if he was not doing these kinds of miracles, he never would have been accused of that. He never would have been accused of doing something by the power of Satan if those miracles were not actually happening. Now, some of you skeptics might say, well, okay, maybe after his resurrection, afterwards, and the church, they made up this story. But that doesn't work either, does it? Because, can you imagine, if put yourself back in their shoes, you know, your early church father and your wives and all that, and you're trying to make and write up this thing to start people to believe in Christianity. Would you ever say that Jesus, would you ever accuse Jesus of getting his power by Satan? Absolutely not. So this controversy here, where the Pharisees are accusing him essentially of witchcraft or something like that, to me really has the ring of truth. He was performing these mighty miracles, and it's not something that could have been made up about him. I mean, this really actually happened. At least, unless somebody else can come up with a better explanation, I just think this really has the ring of truth about it. So what's going on in this story? In addition to it confirming that these miraculous things that Matthew's been recording, as we've been going through for the last 12 chapters, these miraculous things actually happened. And people saw them. And they were wondering, how can he possibly do this? The people here, they said, could this be the Son of David? That's what they're saying, is this the coming Messiah? Now, why would they ask that question, particularly with this one? It says that they brought a man who couldn't see, and he was mute, he couldn't speak. Jesus cast a demon out of him, and his eyes were open, and he could speak. Of all the miraculous things that happened throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, many, many miracles happened, but no one had ever opened the eyes of the blind. No one had ever restored sight to someone who was blind. And the Son of David, the coming Messiah, it was prophesied in Isaiah that the Messiah, the Son of David, would in fact open the eyes of the blind. So when the people ask here, could this be the Son of David? They're recognizing the Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah saying, oh my gosh, this never happened before. This must be the promised Messiah. The one God has promised us that's going to take the one who's going to restore us. But the Pharisees, when they hear this, then they stop and say, no, he's doing this by the power of Satan. Why do they do that? Well, Jesus' answer helps us understand a little bit about that. He said, wait a minute, if I'm doing this by the power of Satan, it just doesn't make sense. Because what is he doing? Satan has been in control of this world. He has control over people. Some of them are demon-possessed. And what Jesus is doing is he's claiming those people back for God by casting the demonic out. He says, it makes no sense. I couldn't be getting power from Satan because I'm stealing these people back. And so if I'm not doing it under the power of Satan, the only other way that it could happen is I'm doing it by God's power, by God's Holy Spirit. Which means that everything he is doing, his entire pronouncement of the kingdom of God is coming and is at hand. Everything that he's doing as he eats with sinners, as he pronounces forgiveness without sending them to the temple first, all of these things, the entire kingdom of God coming upon us, all of that goes with these holy words. And he tells the Pharisees, it makes no sense over here for me to be ruined by the power of Satan, because Satan would be undermining himself. Therefore, the only alternative is that God is at work in me now. And you better get on board with the whole program. Not only does that apply to the Pharisees and the people around, it applies to us as well. We better get in on the whole program. Because if Jesus actually did these things, and he did it under the power of God, he says that the kingdom of God is coming, and it's here now in me. And it's available. Just as it's available to them, it's available to us. Just as we pray each and every week at the end of when we're praying at the end of the prayers of the people, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Does this sound familiar? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Haynes, just as it is in heaven, right? The kingdom is coming in us through Jesus Christ. And we have to accept his entire gospel message as he associates with sinners and the undesirables, offers forgiveness to all, not just through some temple sacrifice, but the true forgiveness that comes from believing in him. He also goes through and he raises some real problems. If you don't accept me, if you don't accept my work is through the Holy Spirit, there's a real big problem here. And it's confused us for a long time when he says, talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Anybody have problems with that? You go, oh, good, I don't have to explain it. Let me ask that question again. Anybody have any problems with the sin against, you know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit?
Sure.
It's the unforgivable sin. Thank you, Judah. I knew you. There's a reason you're on the second row or something. Yes?
Okay.
How do we blaspheme? What is the sin? We get it from this story is the illustration of what the sin is. The sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is attributing the true work of the Holy Spirit to the demonic. It is when God is at work with his Holy Spirit and is doing something miraculous or otherwise, and someone is saying, no, that is the work of Satan. And that's exactly what the Pharisees have done here. That is the sin, the unforgivable sin. It's the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because when God is at work to attribute his work to the demonic, that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the basic work of the Holy Spirit within all of us? We need the Holy Spirit within us, and he convicts us of our sin, and we accept Jesus and accept the salvation that Jesus brings. If we resist that and say, oh, that's not the work of God, then we can never accept Jesus into our life as Lord and Savior. Without him in our life as Lord and Savior, we have no forgiveness from God. So we can attribute works and mighty acts today, we can say, oh no, I don't accept that God is at work here doing that. That is the same sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's got to be something else. There's got to be some scientific explanation for that, right? Or whatever. We need to accept that God is at work today just as He was 2,000 years ago. God raised Jesus from the dead, resurrected. And because Jesus lives, the same things He did back here 2,000 years ago is available to us today. Jesus is alive and present with us now, and He wants us to accept His power, His miraculous work in changing our lives. Can He change us? You bet He can change us. He can even take a mean old nasty lawyer and turn him into a preacher. Took a little while. And certainly there's a lot of resistance, but I'm inviting you not to resist the call of God in your life. Accept it, that God loves you. He has a much better way for you. He wants you to accept the good apples, not the fake one, pal. He has so much good in store for you, and He invites you to have a relationship with Him over and over and over again. But some of us, just like the Pharisees, we come up with excuses not to do it. And finally we say, no, I just cannot believe this, and it must be some other power at work. Ultimately, that's true. Does God change lives from there? Yes. And we can see that at work in so many people around us, if we're just willing to accept God is at work today, just as He always has been. Speaking of apples, I know this is a little bit off because we don't know what the fruit was in the Garden of Eden. We always say it was an apple, right? So can I go with that? You know, probably it was some tropical fruit, I'm guessing. We'll go with an apple. I heard one time someone say that as the piece of apple was going down their throats and the apple juice was dripped, God at that point was preparing salvation for all of us. Jesus was planning to come to save us from that sin, that first apple. Boy, I like apples now. God has been at work forever, loving and caring for us, His people, and wants us to be in a relationship, and He knows that without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot keep it. And so He puts the Holy Spirit and works in all of our lives. And when we say, no, that couldn't be God at work, there must be some other explanation, that's when we are rejecting the work of His Spirit. So today, I invite you. It's easier to recognize the real truth of this story instead of coming up with other excuses, instead of trying to reject that God could still be at work. Take a look around you. Doesn't it look like God is at work around us on a glorious day like this? We live in a majestic place that He created for our benefit, for our enjoyment. Accept it. God loves us and wants a relationship with us. Jesus can heal us if we'll just let Him. And He also tells us something about ourselves. If we want to be involved in His mission, if we want to be involved in His kingdom development, there's an essential thing that we have to do. That's contained in this story. He says, you cannot rob a strong man of his possessions. He's saying, Satan's very strong, and I can't go in there and rob and throw the demonic out of and reclaim one of Satan's possessions, stealing back into God's family, unless I tie the strong man up first. Think when He did that. Remember in Matthew, when He spent 40 days and 40 nights out in the desert? And what happened? Satan came and tempted Him, right? Remember the story? Armageddon Black? Yeah, there's some of you do. Okay? We remember the story of His temptation in the wilderness. And Satan came when he was weak and hungry. He was also very spiritually strong. And Jesus dealt with the temptations then. Satan was bound then when he resisted and stood firm against the temptations that Satan offered. You have to first deal with Satan's temptation in your own life before you can be involved in God's kingdom. So today, what are the temptations that you need to deal with first? Where do you need strength and the Holy Spirit working in your life to deal with the temptations of the things that are interfering with you from fully committing to God's work? To God's work where you can love and serve other people. We first need to deal with those temptations. Satan must be bound. And when Jesus, at the temptations in the wilderness, was that the only time Satan tempted him? No. Luke records after that event that Satan left him for a more opportune time. So we have to deal with our temptations over and over again and say no as we go on and accept Christ and get involved in his work. So wherever you are today, wherever you find yourself, maybe you need to accept Jesus for the first time. This story for me, among many others, has a real ring of truth to it. It wouldn't make any sense otherwise if it wasn't true. Jesus is real. He loves you. He did these miraculous things. He finally died on the cross and God raised him again so that we may have a relationship with him. Maybe you need to accept that for the first time. Maybe you need to recommit again in your own life. Maybe you need his help in resisting temptations so you can be involved in your relationship and in spreading of his word to other people. Wherever you find yourself, Jesus is there wanting to love you, care for you, and have a relationship. So that we can all take our apples and spread them out, just like I'll help the children understand. He wants that relationship with you, and he invites you in. My prayer today is that we can join him in his work.